this evening, talking about annexation on the one hand and talking about activism on the other. The set piece event, as it has happened in recent years, in European activism relating to Palestine, the Palestine Expo, is going to be taking place in upcoming days on the 4th and 5th of July. And we have with us to talk about the upcoming event and its new nature this year, Ismail Adam Patel, the chair of Friends of Al-Aqsa. Ismail, jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa'alaikum salam, and salam alaikum to all your listeners as well.
Well, Ismail, before we go into Pell Expo this year and the need for Pell Expo and the important discussions that will be happening there, incidentally, one of the topics, and understandably so, is annexation that's going to be discussed at the Pell Expo. Just some of your thoughts. It's a big term that's bandied about. Many people are fixated on the details coming out of the Israeli state of when and how this is going to be done, the American rubber stamping, etc. What are the most important issues in your informed opinion that needs to be considered when we talk annexation?
Well, let's start from the very basic and sort of discuss what annexation itself means. Basically, it's a country taking over somebody's territory and claiming authority over it. And this is what Israel is going to do to West Bank. Now, if we take that definition forward, then we understand that Israel has already annexed Jerusalem. It has annexed the Golan Heights. And now it wants to annex more of the West Bank. So really, this is Israeli practice, which they have been doing over the past few decades. And it's just they're just going forward and taking over more Palestinian territory. But what it will mean is that the territory they take over, they'll have Palestinian people on it, and Israel has two options, and it has not really spelled out what it will do to these people on the land, the Palestinian people on the land they'll annex. One is obviously they can ethnically cleanse them, and that could be a disaster. Second is they can absorb them and keep them as a second-class citizens, and therefore Israel then would become a fully-fledged apartheid state, whereas at the moment Israeli apartheid system operates in certain parts of Israeli territories. So that would be a change. And it would be obviously the end of any two-state solution, any idea of a peace treaty or negotiations, because there would be nothing left of Palestine at all. At the moment, as we stand, there's only 12% of mandate Palestine remaining to the Palestinian people. Once the annexation takes place, we will have less than 7% of the original territory. So there could never be a Palestinian state. So there is a lot of high stake, but it's also very, very dangerous for Israel and what it's doing. And that's why you see a lot of what we might call liberal Zionists even are asking Netanyahu not to go ahead with annexation. And they're not doing it because they have any sympathy for the Palestinian people. But what they have is they understand the dangers that could pose to Israel itself.
Article, Brother Ismail, in the Electronic Intifada by Asir al-Baje, part of this speaking about how this move is, in fact, just rubber stamping the existing reality. A subtopic here talks about the move from de facto annexation to de jure annexation. Now, explain to us what would the important difference be there. People would say this is the reality that Palestinians in the West Bank, these areas of the West Bank, have been living already. What difference does it make to formalize that, and why now does Israel decide to make this move?
Up until now, while Israel is living under the Israeli, the Palestinians are living under the Israeli occupation. And that's why a lot of people say they're already living under annexation. But as far as Israel is concerned, it has not declared them to be its own territories. It has maintained that it is an occupied territory as dictated by the international law, Geneva Convention, and UN resolution. And therefore, if they went to a negotiation table, it would be not considered. It would be considered as an occupied territory. But what Israel now is saying, that this is our territory. That means they've annexed it. That's what annexation means. And therefore, they have full sovereignty over that territory, and they can do whatever they like. And that's the difference between de jure and de facto. And what we have at the moment, obviously, Israel does control every aspect of the Palestinian life in every means and ways. But at least on the legal term, they say that this is occupied territory. But now they want to forego that and say, no, this is our territory and we will treat the Palestinians the way we like.
And with that discussion, has come up an internal Palestinian discussion specifically about the role of structures that kind of gain their legitimacy, in inverted commas, from the Oslo process and the kind of peace negotiations that have been happening over this period of time. And what does annexation do for these structures? They've already made, for example, the Palestinian Authority making statements that they've made before already on ending security coordination. Given the drastic change that is threatened to happen anytime now, does this also require, obviously we are speaking from the activist standpoint, Palestinians have the first say on this, but does this require an overall shake-up in solidarity from the outside as well as leadership from the inside?
Sure. Going back to the first point, let's not fool ourselves, but realize and accept that the reason Israel is able to annex the West Bank now or call for annexation is because of Oslo Treaty itself, because Oslo allowed Israelis authority, what they called Area A, B, and C. And this is now they're going to take over Area C and annex it. So this was part and parcel of, for Israeli, a very long-term strategy. And we have, especially people like me, and a lot of activists have told and warned the Palestinian community not to go down the path of Oslo. And this is the consequences of it we're paying after, nearly 30 years now. As far as the internal instruments of the Palestinian authorities are concerned, how the Palestinian people will be governed, it is a shame, but that the fact that the Palestinian Authority does cooperate with Israel and the security, once they stop that and Israel annexes that, they will not need the Palestinian Authority. So what happens within the political structures of the Palestinian society is up for grabs, and we do not know what will fall. We might have new parties emerging. We could have total collapse of the Palestinian Authority. It is really an unknown entity at the moment. I would not like to guess. But the Palestinian people are likely to suffer more in the next few years than they have already been suffering. And that is something we have to become very, very much conscious and aware of. And that is what we have to struggle for and make sure that their suffering ends sooner rather than later.
Now, talking about those practical measures that can be taken, continuing the awareness, continuing the education, continuing the lobbying. The Palestine Expo is going to be happening very shortly. Just before we even go to the plans for this year's event, the history of the Palestine Expo, the thought behind the Palestine Expo, its previous years.
Sure, we've had, this is going to be our third, we're trying to have it every 2 years. We've had it in London for the last two sessions. Every year we've had it. We've had over 10,000 people attend the event. And the idea is to educate the visitors with the Palestinian culture, history, heritage, and their present political situation, so that people get to know that the Palestinian is just not a word and they're not numbers and figures, but they have their own background, as every society and people have. And that is what we're trying to preserve. So that's the background. The other, obviously, aspect of it is to bring as many people from different sectors of society and groups of people together, so that we have a wider circle of concern and make our concern much wider, so that we have global impact for the Palestinian resistance movement. And obviously now, coming forward, we can't have gatherings because of the lockdown and the pandemic we have going through at the moment. We've had to go online. But nevertheless, the lineup of speakers we have for the next 2 days on the 4th, Saturday 4th and Sunday 5th of July is absolutely impressive, with live reports from Palestine on checkpoints, reports from farmers, and a report from Masjid al-Aqsa itself with a guided tour. We've got chefs from Palestine and also talks on different issues regarding the Palestinian conflict.
On those, I think to, amongst others, there's discussions on Palestinians within the so-called Green Line. There's the discussions on Palestinian refugees, given the cataclysmic events all across the Middle East, somehow, Palestinian refugees fall into the background. There's, the suppression of funding to UNRWA, etc. But two important panels, amongst others, as I said, that catch my eye. The one on annexation and the other connecting Black Lives Move, the Black Lives Matter movement in Palestine. Talk to us about those.
Sure. The annexation is, I would say, definitely the flagship event of Palestine Expo 2020 this year online. And we have got some very impressive speakers. We have Diana Bhutto, who was the advisor to Palestinian Authority. We have Gideon Levy, who was a journalist from Haaretz newspaper. We have Daniel Levy, who was the advisor to Ehud Barak. We have Wadda Kanfa, who was the CEO of Al Jazeera. And Yusuf Jibreen, who's the head of the Balad Party for the Palestinians in 1948. So we have world leaders as far as the political spectrum is concerned. And we brought these people together because we are very serious, rather than just shouting from the sidelines, to be right in the middle of the arena itself. And bring about these views so that we can discuss and debate this in a very serious manner, and people take it seriously, especially those not only who are listening and activists, but actually those who are in the political arena and policymakers. And we hope that makes some sort of impact. But obviously, it always helps if you have more viewers, because that then sends that message that people are really concerned about this issue.
And the Black Lives Matter as well?
Sure. The Black Lives Matter is absolutely pivotal at the moment. It always should have been in front of us, but obviously we are also laxed sometimes. But with what's happening in America and George Floyd and the resistance of African-Americans, and they have themselves come forward, and this is something very amazing that we should understand, that the Black Lives Matter movement itself has come forward and gained solidarity with the Palestinian struggle, and they see themselves in the same footing as far as the colonialist oppressive power takes place within an internal state. And this link that has they've been built up is something we need to tell the world about and make them understand how the state structures are operating now in the world and how they're oppressing the people as a colonialist power, as superpower in America, as an empire, and Israel as a colonialist occupying power for the Palestinians.
The choice to take this online, obviously motivated purely by the dynamics that the United Kingdom and the wider world finds itself in as a result of COVID lockdowns. I'm just trying to think, people might feel at this stage, Brother Ismail, a bit helpless in that there's this big cloud of annexation hanging over, and people are now having to adapt to new ways of activism, and sometimes the feeling might be that although we virtually live online in many of the things that we do, that's simply not the same as being on the ground. How do we navigate into this perhaps uncertain and new terrain and still feel and make a meaningful difference?
Well, I mean, sometimes if you meet the challenges, opportunities emerge. And let's just think about it. I mentioned right at the beginning that when we used to have expos in London, we used to have 10,000 people attend. And we used to be reasonably pleased and satisfied that, we've been successful. But we're expecting this time a figure of 100,000 online, because we're going online and we have now we're thinking globally. And before, we used to think more European, British level. So, we meet the challenges, and if you can imagine, if we can get this number of people through not only social media outlet, but also through the television channels that are now expected to cover the events, we've got something like half a dozen television channels who will cover it. And if we do manage that kind of figure, and if they do become active, then obviously we're talking about a great movement, and that is really Allah's blessing through the crisis that we're facing. Yes, they are horrible times, and we hope we go over them sooner rather than later. But we have to meet the challenges of the time and make the most of it. So I wouldn't despair as far as activism is concerned. Obviously, as I say, I repeat myself, because I don't want to be sound that, we're grateful for the pandemic. Absolutely not. We want to get over it. but that we have to meet that challenges and do whatever we can in the circumstances that we find ourselves in.
The quick last one for you, obviously, happening on Saturday, the 4th of July, Sunday, the 5th of July, from 1 p.m. till 5:15 on Saturday and 11 till 5:15 on the Sunday. Those are UK times. How do people plug in?
Simply PalestineExpo.com. Go onto our website, and through there you can go through all the social media you would like to go onto. And you'll have it in Arabic, if you want Arabic translation, or English. So you'll have in two languages. And we'll have all the social media platforms, from Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. But just go on PalestineExpo.com.
And I do understand as well, from the radio station here in South Africa, we're hoping to take some key parts of those presentations, hopefully to bring that to our listenership as well. But for the full program, Brother Ismail has mentioned the details, PalestineExpo.com, and on the social media at Palestine Expo. I thank you so much for the time, and all the best for the event, Brother Ismail.
Thank you for
the invitation. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ismail Adam Patel from Friends of Al-Aqsa talking to us about Palestine Expo 2020 this year online. And that brings us to the end of the show. From myself, Ibrahim Musa, and the rest of the team here at Radio Islam International, Johannesburg, South Africa. Till we meet again, fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.